الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we were discussing the importance of Surah Al-Fatiha and the importance of understanding the meanings that are contained therein in order to benefit from the recitation of the Fatiha, and likewise even more specific to benefit during the Salah, so that the Salah will be full of life and benefit for a person, and a means to rectify his affair, and a means to be an aid and support for him to be steadfast, and likewise a means for him to be able to avoid and stay away from evil and indecency. And this is the case of the prayer. The benefit of the prayer is that a person, he will find great aid and support and great means of strength in his faith by way of performing the salat properly, the obligatory and the non-obligatory. And Allah, He mentioned about this, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help and assistance in patience and in prayer. And indeed, this is something great or heavy, except for those who are humble, and those who remember Allah and the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the prayer is from the greatest means to be steadfast and to be firm upon the obedience of Allah azza wa jal. But that is the case whenever the prayer is performed properly, inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, Allah, He mentioned about the salat, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That indeed, the prayer, the salah, it prohibits a person from evil and indecency. And again, this is whenever the prayer is performed properly, inwardly and outwardly, beginning with the essence of that and that which is in the heart, from the remembrance of Allah and the love of Allah and the hope for the reward from Allah and the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal while in the prayer. And then likewise outwardly, by performing those conditions and pillars and obligations in the sunan of the prayer and perfecting it in its performance from every aspect by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the salah and the issue of the Fatiha. The wisdom behind that is to be able to benefit. And the wisdom behind studying the detailed interpretation of the Fatiha is in order to benefit from the recitation and benefit from the salah. So this is the reason why the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a brief explanation, clarifying some details with regards to the meaning of the verses of this noble chapter. So before we begin reading, we discuss some benefits with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha. And from that is that it has many special characteristics and traits. And the status of the Fatiha is very high and lofty, very high and lofty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First and foremost, what has come with regards to the name, At-Tasmiyah bil-Fatiha. This name here, Al-Fatiha, which in English it means the opener or the opening. The opener or the opening. And likewise, we have seen also it's called Al-Kitab or Al-Quran. Ush-Shay in the Arabic language, the mother of something, what is intended, the foundation of that. So it's the foundation of the Quran. It is the foundation of the book. And in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Kitab wa Al-Quran, meaning the foundation of the book, that the rest of the detailed meanings come back to and are contained in general inside the verses of the Fatiha. And there are a number of other names likewise that the Fatiha has. Rather, some of them have mentioned up to almost 20 names. Some of them are mentioned clearly in some authentic texts, and some of these names are ijtihadat of the people of knowledge and are maybe closer to being a description than being a name. But in any case, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that in the Arab, if they honor something or they hold it in high regard, if they honor something or they hold it in high regard, then that thing in their language will have a number of different names. That thing in their language will have a number of different names. So something that the Arab, they would hold in high regards and they would respect and they had reverence for, something that they liked or something that they honored, or something that they held in high regard, and then they would name it with a number of different names. And from this, any in the Arabic language is the Asid. The Asid, what does Asid mean? Al-Asid, huh? The lion. The lion, it has a number of names. Al-Asid, Al-Usama, Ghadan Farah. It has a number of different names in the Arabic language. And in referring to this affair, an indication that this is something that they respected and held in honor. Likewise, the sword, a safe, it has a number of different names for that as well. And this is something that is found linguistically in the Arabic language. But likewise, we find as well the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, As-Sa'ah, Yawm al-Fasl, Yani al-Qari'ah, al-Haqqah. It has a number of different names because of how great that affair is. Something that is amazing. Something that is tremendous. Yani Yawm al-Azim. Yawm al-Azim. So it has a number of names. So this is something found in the Arabic language. Likewise here with regards to al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha has a number of different names. A number of different names and indicating the status of this and the greatness of this. And many times these different names are indicating different characteristics of that thing. And that is the case here. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his authentic collection, he has a book, yani Kitab al-Tafsir. Kitabu Tafsir al-Qur'an. Kitabu Tafsir al-Qur'an. The chapter of the Tafsir, the interpretation or explanation of the Qur'an. He began this book and he mentions Babu ma ja'a fi fatihat al-Kitab. Babu ma ja'a fi fatiha al-Kitab. The chapter with regards to that which has come about the opening of the book. The opening of the book. Al-Bukhari, he mentions in his commentary on this portion, he says, وَسُمِّيَتْ أُمَّ الْكِتَابِ أَنَّهُ يُبْدَأُ بِكِتَابَتِهَا فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ وَيُبْدَأُ بِقِرَاءَتِهَا فِي الصَّلَاةِ. So it is called فَاتِحَةُ الْكِتَابِ. It is called أُمَّ الْكِتَابِ. سُمِّيَتْ أُمَّ الْكِتَابِ. It is called the Umm of the book, meaning the foundation of the book, because it is written first. It's the first thing that is written in the book. The first thing that is written in the scripture, in the Masahif, is the Surah Al-Fatiha. The person who is going to open the book of Allah, the first thing that he will find on the very first page, whenever he opens the book of Allah, is Surah Al-Fatiha. And this is how the companions, they all agreed that the book of Allah should begin whenever they collected the Quran in written form, and they compiled that. So therefore, it's the very first chapter in the opening and the opening of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, because the prayer as well is opened with the recitation of the Fatiha. So al-Fatiha, yani yuftatahu biha kitabullah, wa tuftatahu biha as-salah. So the Fatiha, it is an opening for the book of Allah, and likewise it is the opening of the prayer. It is the opening of the prayer. So also it is called al-Kitab, because then the detailed meanings of the Quran, they are all collected and summarized. They are all gathered and summarized in the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha consists in general all of the detailed meanings of the Quran in the clarification of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal from every aspect. Al-Tawheed al-Ilmi wa Tawheed al-Amali. Al-Tawheed al-Ilmi wa Tawheed al-Amali. And this is something very, very beneficial to ponder and to reflect upon. And we have seen in our previous class the hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurayrah radiallahu anhu, which was hadith Qudsi. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he narrates that which Allah, he says, and he from other than the Quran. And Allah, he mentioned in that hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that Allah, he says in that hadith, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْنِ, that I have divided the prayer between me and my slave in two parts. I have divided the prayer between me and my slave in two parts. And it has been clarified in our previous class that what is intended from the word salat here is al-Fatiha. قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ يَعْنِي al-Fatiha. يَعْنِي al-Fatiha. I have divided the prayer between me and my slave in two parts. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَأَلَ. And my slave, he will have what he asked for. Meaning that the Fatiha has been divided into two parts. Part of it is for Allah, and the other part is for the slave, is for the worshipper, is for the reciter, is for the reciter. So here, these two parts, this is Tawheed. The first part is all about attributes, clarifying the greatness of Allah. and praising Allah and mentioning His attributes of perfection, mentioning the main fundamental names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the rest of the names and attributes return back to. The name of Allah and the name Ar-Rabb and the name Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, and likewise Al-Malik, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. These are from the fundamental names and attributes of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that the meaning of the rest of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, they return back to, and they're gathered. They're gathered in these names. So this first half that is for Allah, this is all information about Allah. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm, Ad-Din. All of this is At-Tawheed al-Ilmi. All of this is knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. Knowledge about His Lordship, about His Rububiyyah. Knowledge about His actions, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And likewise, about His beautiful names and attributes, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this part here is all about praising Allah and glorifying Him and mentioning information about Him, about His beautiful names and His attributes and characteristics and traits, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then after that is the application of that. And the one who confesses to that and realizes that, then he will surrender and submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will beg from Him to guide him to a path that leads to His pleasure and that leads to His mercy. And he will beg from Him to save him from the path that will lead to His anger, or that will be a path of misguidance and that will turn away from the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is the application of that Tawheed. At-Tawheed al-Amali. At-Tawheed al-Amali. So therefore, this chapter here, it contains all of those detailed meanings summarized in these verses, beginning with the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise with the regards to the rulings and the Ahkam, Al-Ahkam al-Shar'iyyah. They return back to this affair. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. The straight path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is by holding fast to those legislated commandments and abiding by them, and being firm upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, and avoiding turning away from His obedience and falling into misguidance from whims and desires, or from misunderstanding and the likes like this, misunderstandings and innovations. All of this is turning one away from the straight path. So the straight path is holding fast to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal that leads to His pleasure, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And likewise, the mention of the recompense, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Maliki Yawm ad-Din, He's the master of the day of judgment, the day of deen, the day of recompense, the day the people, they will meet their Lord and they will face their deeds, and they will be taken to account for their speech and their actions. All of these great fundamental principles are found here in Surah Al-Fatiha summarized. And likewise, Turuq Bani Adam, the methodology and the ways of the children of Adam. Some of them are upright and guided and they have knowledge and they implement that knowledge, and others, they are misled by their desires and they have foul intentions. Even though they have knowledge, they do not use that knowledge to reach the pleasure of Allah. Rather, they use that knowledge to have a portion of this life, and therefore they have earned the anger of Allah, like the Jews and those who resemble them. And likewise, there are others, they do not have knowledge, and they think that they want to do good, or they want to do things in life, and they want to proceed based upon their whims and desires and that which they find to be good without any light from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and therefore they are misguided and they are astray. This is the summarization of mankind. This is all mentioned here in Surah Al-Fatiha. In Surah Al-Fatiha. So this is really an amazing chapter. The one who learns these meanings and he reflects upon those meanings, especially whenever he's in the prayer, then he will benefit greatly. Allah, He mentions about His book, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. That is a book, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ, يعني يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, مُبَارَكٌ, that this is a book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, and is full of blessing. مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It's full of blessing. But in order, why was it revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how was that blessing truly obtained? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, in order for them to ponder and to reflect over its verses. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and so that those people of sound understanding, they may reflect and take admonition. So the wisdom from the revelation of the book of Allah, of the Quran, is to read it and to recite it and to understand it and reflect upon it and to ponder and to benefit and to take admonition. So this comes from learning the meanings. This comes from learning the meanings. But even before learning the meanings, the true means, to be able to reflect on the Book of Allah, it requires for a person to have fundamental foundations. It requires for a person to have fundamental foundations. And the one who learns the religion properly, step by step, little by little, principle after principle, showing preference to that which takes precedence, beginning with Aqidah, beginning with Tawheed, beginning with the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla, learning the proper belief and the proper creed, and then likewise proceeding after Tawheed to learn the proper understanding in the angels, and in the books, and in the messengers, and in the last day, and the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the decree of Allah, and the command of Allah, and the authority of Allah, and the legislation of Allah, learning these fundamental principles, and having these keys, they're like light that will open up the heart whenever a person is going to reflect and he's going to ponder. Whenever a person, he wants to reflect and to ponder over the Book of Allah. As for a person, he does not know anything about usul al-iman. He does not know anything about the fundamentals of faith. He does not have a proper creed or understanding with regards to the tawheed of Allah. He has doubts and misconceptions, or with regards to the messengers of Allah, or the books of Allah, or the angels of Allah, and the likes like this, then he will not be able to ponder and reflect, or if he did, it will not lead him to the right understanding. Rather, he will have misunderstandings, because these are fundamentals that the Quran is based upon. It come to clarify these affairs, the fundamentals of faith. So the one who learns in this manner, then whenever the Quran is recited and his heart is alive and he's listening attentively, then indeed he will be able to benefit by the permission of Allah. And this is the methodology that the Prophet ﷺ, he taught his companions. And it's been connected by Ibn Majah from the hadith of Abdullah al-Bajri, of Allahu musta'an, of Abdullah, astaghfirullah, I forgot the companion's name right now. The narration, he says, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, kunna ma'a nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa nahnu hazawira. وَنَحْنُ فِتْيَانْ حَزَاوِرًا, that we used to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were young men, we were young boys just at the age of puberty. فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ قَبَلَ أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ, and we learned al-Iman before we learned the Qur'an. ثُمَّ ازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِيمَانًا, ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ فَازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِيمَانًا, and then after that we learned the Qur'an and we increased in faith by way of that. We increased in faith by way of that. And so the point is to learn the fundamentals of faith. Huh?
I have it from previous notes.
Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri. Jazakallahu khayran. Ahsanta. Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiyallahu anhu. He is the narrator of the hadith. Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiyallahu anhu. Naam. He said, kunna ma'a nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fityanun hazawira. Hazawira, that we were young boys, you know, young boys close to the age of puberty, young men around the age of puberty with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, and we learned Iman before we learned the Quran. Ta'alamna al-Imana qabla an nata'allam al-Quran. We learned al-Iman before we learned the Quran. Thumma ta'alamna al-Quran fazdadna bihi imana. And then we learned the Quran and we increased in faith by way of that. And we increased in faith by way of that. Someone who does not have the proper understanding of creed and belief, maybe he will read the Quran and he will not understand it correctly. Instead of being guided, he could be misled waliyadu billah, by not having the proper fundamental principles. So this is a great point. The one who learns the details of the faith and the creed of Ahl Sunnah, then after that, he will be able to benefit from pondering and reflecting, and then he will see these great benefits that the people of knowledge, they mention with regards to the interpretation of the Fatiha specifically, and for our lesson that we're discussing, and likewise the rest of the Quran. But the one who is not aware of these affairs, then he will not be able to reflect, and he will not realize them. And if, for example, this issue of Tawheed al-Ilmi with Tawheed al-Amali, and the one who learns that and he sees that, then whenever he studies the Book of Allah, he will be able to recognize that. That this topic here is about at-tawheed al-ilmi, all about the knowledge of Allah and His attributes and His greatness and His majesty and His actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His beautiful names. and his beautiful names. And then likewise, whenever one he sees the mention of worship and devotion and sincerity and truthfulness and obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will realize that this is all about at-tawheed al-amali. And then likewise, the one who reflects even more, he will see that this, if there is a mention of reward and a mention of a promise of paradise and the mercy of Allah or aid and support in this life, then this is all the recompense of at-tawheed, the one who realized and understood at-tawheed al-ilmi and applied it in his life. He has this recompense and this reward. He will be like them, like those who have proceeded from the righteous. مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And then likewise, those who are tried and those who are tested and those who are misled and those who are punished in this life and the hereafter, and those who are threatened with the hellfire, or those who were hypocrites and the likes and had doubts and misconceptions. This is all the punishment and the outcome of those who opposed the tawheed or did not purify their tawheed. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But the one who did not learn about tawheed in the first place, he would not be able to realize these affairs or to recognize them, and he will not be able to benefit. But the one who learns these issues and the religion property, then they will come to light and they will stand out in the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. They'll come to light for him now and they'll stand out, and he will recognize them in the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will see them in this manner. He will see them in this manner. The people of knowledge who have reflected and pondered and derived great benefits and from this aspect, even from the first thing that is revealed from the book of Allah, was Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord. Read in the name of your Lord who created. This is about Tawheed al-ilmi, al-Tawheed al-ilmi. Alladhi khalaqa al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Alladhi allama bil qalam. This is all knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is all al-Tawheed al-ilmi. This is how the revelation began, mentioning the greatness of Allah, the attributes of Allah. He's the creator, the one who created the human being in this manner from this blood clot. The one who is the most generous, the most kind, the one who's providing for all things, and he's the Lord. Read in the name of your Lord, the one who's created you and providing for you and sustaining you and shaped you in everything in the best manner, and is cultivating everything in the best way. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. It's all knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this manner, Nubbi'a biqra. He became a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what was the revelation that was revealed to him whenever he became a messenger? Wa'ursila bil-mudathir. Wa'ursila bil-mudathir. But he received messengership with al-mudathir, which is, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'anzir. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ وَالرُّجُزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْبِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاسْبِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاسْبِرْ. This is all to at-tawheed al-amali. This is the application of that. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Stand and warn the people. Stand and warn the people. Now the knowledge has come to you. You have reached the knowledge of your Lord has reached you. You have seen his lordship and his beautiful names and attributes. He is Akram. So وَرَبُّكَ Akram. He's the most noble and generous, and he is the Lord of the world, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now warn and be patient in his path and purify yourself and make your religion purely for him. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ. أي أَعْمَالِكَ طَاهِرْهَا عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. As we have seen, and your actions, your deeds, purify them from shirk. Devote yourself to Allah entirely and completely. So that's the first thing that he received, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was tawheed, tawheed al-ilmi. And then after that, he became a prophet. After that, he became a messenger whenever he was ordered to command, whenever he was ordered to warn the people. And this is the application of that. This is tawheed al-ilmi, what tawheed al-amali. Tawheed al-ilmi, what tawheed al-amali. So this is how the revelation began with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, how does the salah begin? The first in one rakah. How is the rakah performed? And the greatest portion of the greatest recitation is the recitation of the Fatiha. And the greatest action is the action of sujood. This is the action of sujood. The greatest statement that's performed in the salah is the recitation of the Fatiha and the recitation of the Quran in general. That's the best statement that is performed. And the salah, and the best action and the greatest action of submission and servitude is the sujood. And the first chapter that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began and ended in this manner. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. That's the first verse. What's the last verse? The last verse.
Wasjud
waqtarib. This is how the rak'ah is. A rak'ah begins, the best part of the rak'ah is the recitation of the Qur'an, and the recitation of the Fatiha is the best of that. And the best action in the salah is the sujood. And this is how that first revelation began. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And this is the recitation. Read, recite. And the words of Allah and the name of your Lord who created. Wasjud wa qatarib. And prostrate before Him and draw near to Him. And this is the prayer. The prayer is like this. One unit of prayer begins with the recitation and it ends with sujood and prostrating before Allah and drawing near to Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the benefits of this issue of reflecting over the meanings of the Book of Allah, particularly the meanings of the Fatiha, from the names of al-Fatiha, al-Sab' al-Mathani wal-Qur'an al-Azim, al-Sab' al-Mathani wal-Qur'an al-Azim, the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an, the great recitation. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. And indeed we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي, seven from those oft-repeated, meaning oft-repeated verses, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ, and the great Qur'an, and the great recitation. And if the Qur'an is a recitation, it's a book that is recited. It is a book that is recited. So this is also from the names of the Fatiha, the seven oft-repeated verses. And that is because these verses are often repeated any time after time, over and over, and every prayer and every rak'ah. And every prayer and every rak'ah. We have seen this in the previous class, that it's a condition to recite the Fatiha and every prayer and every rak'ah. Yani, and every prayer and every rak'ah. And this is from the evidence of that. And then likewise, then the Fatiha is also known as Al-Qur'an Al-Azim. So from here, the people of knowledge have mentioned that the greatest chapter in the Book of Allah, the greatest chapter in the Book of Allah is Surah Al-Fatiha. And from that is that which has preceded, how it contains, summarized and in general, all of the details of the rest of the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it has been collected by Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Mu'alla. From the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Mu'alla, radiyallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to me, لُعَلِّمَنَّكَ سُورَةً هِيَ أَعْظَمُ سُورَةً فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقْرُجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him one time in the masjid. And then he approached him and he said to him that indeed I'm going to teach you the greatest chapter in the Qur'an before you leave the masjid. He said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِيَدِي. And then he took me by my hand. And then meaning they proceeded to walk. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ قُلْتُ لَهُ أَلَمْ تَقُلْ لَوْ عَلِّمَنَّكَ سُورَةً هِيَ أَعْظَمُ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And whenever we're about to exit and leave the masjid, I said to him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, didn't you just say to me previously that you're going to teach me a chapter which is the greatest chapter in the Qur'an before we leave the masjid? So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الحمد لله رب العالمين, referring to Surah Al-Fatiha. And he meaning that this is the greatest chapter. This is the greatest chapter in the Book of Allah. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hiya sab'u al-mathani wal-Qur'an al-azim alladhi utituhu. And it is the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an that I have been given. That I have been given. So this is also from the meanings of the Fatiha, and also understanding the greatness of the Fatiha. It's the greatest chapter in the Book of Allah. It is the greatest chapter in the Book of Allah. Likewise, in Sahih Bukhari, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Umm al-Qur'an hiya as-sab'u al-mathani wal-Qur'an al-azim. That the Umm al-Qur'an, meaning the Fatiha, it is the seven oft-repeated verses and the great Qur'an. Meaning the great recitation. So again, to emphasize, that this Qur'an, this great chapter, this surah, contains in general and summarized all of the details of the rest of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They all return back here, and they proceed from here. Rather, some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned even greater than that. And from them is Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala. And likewise, his shaykh, he has mentioned it as well in a number of his works. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And we read what Ibn Qayyim, he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in Madarij al-Sarikin. He has a work called Madarij al-Sarikin, which is all about the interpretation of al-Fatiha. It's all about the interpretation of al-Fatiha, rather, all about the interpretation of one verse in al-Fatiha, and that is, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help. So Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah, وَسِرُّ الْخَلْقِ وَالْكُتُبِ وَسِرُّ الْخَلْقِ وَالْكُتُبِ وَالْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِ وَالشَّرَائِعِ وَالثَّوَابِ وَالْإِقَابِ انْتَهَى إِلَى هَاتَيْنِ الْكَلِمَتَيْنِ. That the secret, سِرُّ الْخَلْقِ, the secret of the creation. Sometimes the people of knowledge, they use this term, سِرْ. The word is as-sir, and the plural is أسرار. سِرٌ وَأَسْرَار. Secret and secrets. But what is intended is hikmah, wisdom. It's not intended, it's a secret that you hide from people. It's not, because sometimes when we say in the English language, secrets is something that you keep to yourself, you don't tell nobody, or you keep it between a group of people and you don't inform others. That's not what is intended. We'll find this term used on the tongues of the people of knowledge. They'll say asrar al-sharia, asrar al-sharia. So maybe someone will interpret that the secrets of the legislation. But there are no secrets in the legislation. Rather, the legislation is clarified and for all mankind. But what is intended there is the subtle wisdom that is found therein that not everybody is able to realize and benefit from. There are secrets in the legislation, meaning great wisdom and great benefits, but they're very subtle, and the average person who does not have concern for knowledge, he will not be able to identify them or benefit from them. But the one who learns, or he is in the company of the people of knowledge, then he will benefit from these affairs. So this is what is intended here. سِرُّ الْخَلْقِ وَالْكُتُبِ وَالْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِ وَالشَّرَائِعِ وَالثَّوَابِ وَالْإِقَابِ انْتَهَى إِلَى هَتَيْنِ كَلِمَتَيْنِ. That the secret of the creation, meaning the wisdom, the wisdom, the subtle wisdom of the creation and of the revelation of the books and the commandments and the prohibitions and the legislation and the reward and the punishment, it all comes back to these two statements. These two statements he's referring to, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So the secret from the wisdom of our creation. Somebody, why are we created? What is the wisdom from that? The secret, the key, what is that? It goes back to this issue here. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help and aid and assistance from. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help and assistance from, meaning from Allah Azza wa Jal. It goes back to here. Likewise, the revelation of all of the books goes back to this issue here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Likewise, the commandments and prohibitions, all of them, they go back to here. The wisdom from those commandments and prohibitions is to actualize this statement here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The wisdom behind the legislation and the law, and the halal and the haram, and the limits that have been set, the shara'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it goes back to this issue here to establish this. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. The promise of reward and the mercy of Allah and His pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the threat of punishment and the anger of Allah and His wrath and fury, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. All of this goes back to these two statements here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone, O Allah, do we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone, O Allah, do we seek help from. Do we seek help from? So this is what he's saying, rahimahullah. So then he says, وَعَلَيْهِمَا مَدَارُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَالتَّوْحِيدِ. Servitude, worship, surrender, and submission, and tawheed revolves around these two statements. Revolves around these two statements. It's revolving, yani this is the focal point. This is the focal point for al-ubudiyyah, which is yani al-ibadah, yani surrender and servitude and humbleness and obedience to Allah, and al-tawheed. And al-tawheed, yani the pure Islamic monotheism, this is all revolving around these two statements. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And then he says, حَتَّى قِيلَ. And this was the whole, any the point of the issue. Mentioning this now, the shahid, حَتَّى قِيلَ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِيَّةَ كِتَابٍ وَأَرْبَةَ كُتُبٍ. That until it's been mentioned that Allah, He has revealed 104 books. That Allah has revealed 104 books. Allah knows best about this number. This is not established. As he mentioned here, قيلة. It's been mentioned. And some of the people of knowledge have mentioned this, or it's found in some of the narrations from the Salaf. Even some that ascribe to the Prophet, they're not authentic. And some ascribe to the Salaf, some of them are not authentic. And some of them considered Mursal. So in any case, this is not something to rely upon. It's just the benefit that he's mentioning here. And the number of books, Allah knows best how many actually were revealed. the number of books precisely. Allah knows best how many were revealed. But he says, جَمَعَ مَعَنِيَهَا يعني جَمَعَ اللَّهِ جَمَعَ مَعَنِيَهَا فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالزَّبُورِ. He mentioned, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى, that he gathered the meanings of all of those books, and all of the previous revelation in the Torah and the Injil and in the Zabur. In the Torah and in the Injil and in the Zabur. Yani in the Torah and in the Gospel and in the Psalms. The Psalms, the Torah of Musa and the Injil of Isa and the Zabur of Dawood alayhimu salatu wasalam. Then these three books, Allah, he summarized and gathered all of the meanings of the previous laws and legislations in these books. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَمَعَ مَعَانِيَ هَذِهِ الْكُتُبِ الثَّلَاثَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And then he gathered the meanings and the benefits of these three books in the Qur'an. وَجَمَعَ مَعَانِيَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْمُفَصَّلِ. And Allah, he summarized and gathered the meanings of the entire Qur'an in the Mufassal. In the Mufassal. The Mufassal is from Surah Qaf. Surah Qaf. From Qaf to An-Nas. Yani beginning at Qaf. Beginning at Surah Qaf. And from Qaf to An-Nas, this is called Al-Mufassal. This is called Al-Mufassal. The Quran is divided in parts. And the last part is called Al-Mufassal. Because there's Mufassal meaning the one that is divided. Because it's divided by the Basmalah. Because there are many, many, many chapters in this portion coming back to back. The one chapter will end and another will begin. Any time after time. So there are many breaks in this portion of the Quran. Because of the ending and beginning of new chapters. Because of the ending and the beginning of new chapters. So one will start and then it will finish. Another will start and another it will finish. And there's a number of chapters in this portion here. So it's called Al-Mufassal. So he's saying here that some of the people of Nadas mentioned that the whole Quran is summarized here in this portion. Summarized here in this portion. And Allah knows best, this is leading us to another benefit if we reflect. And that from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the prayer, and the five daily prayers, he would always recite from this portion here. Normally, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the five daily prayers every day, the portions of the Quran that he would recite are from here. And there's great wisdom in that. And this is from that wisdom, because these meanings here summarize everything else in the Quran that's mentioned in detail. That's mentioned in detail. But then he mentions here, and وَجَمَعَ مَعَانِي الْمُفَصَّلْ فِي الْفَاتِحَةِ. And Allah has summarized and gathered all of the meanings contained in the Mufassal, this portion of the Quran, from Qaf to An-Nas, in the Fatiha. In the Fatiha. وَجَمَعَ مَعَانِيَ الْفَاتِحَةَ فِي إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And Allah has gathered and summarized all of the meanings of the Fatiha in this statement here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this is something that some other people of knowledge, they have mentioned. So the one who reflects over this affair, he will find that this is clear, and that it all goes back to this issue here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it's already clarified likewise that the Qur'an is أُمَّ الْكِتَابُ وَأُمَّ الْقُرْآنِ. And the wisdom behind that is because it contains in general the meanings of the rest of the Book of Allah. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned again that the meanings of the Qur'an are summarized in the portion of Mufassal from Surah Qaf all the way to Nas, any from chapter 50 all the way to chapter 114. And in this portion here, Allah has summarized in general the meanings of the entire Quran. And then he mentioned that Allah summarized the meanings that are found here in Surah Al-Fatiha. And Surah Al-Fatiha. And then the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha, all of them have been summarized in إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. In إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Ibn Qayyim, likewise, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, كَثِيرًا مَا كُنْتُ أَسْمَعُ شَيْخَ الْإِسْلَامِ Ibn Taymiyyah يَقُولُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ فِيهِ عِلَاجٌ لِلْرِيَاءِ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ فِيهِ عِلَاجٌ لِلْكِبْرِيَاءِ عِلَاجٌ لِلْكِبْرِيَاءِ. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that many, many times I used to hear Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, many times I used to hear him saying that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, the statement here, you alone do we worship, this is the cure for showing off. This is the cure for showing off. And the means to cure a person's heart and his soul from showing off and wanting to be heard and having bad intentions and performing the actions of the hereafter in order to obtain the dunya, performing the actions of the hereafter with hopes to obtain the worldly life, a position or a status or rank, and the likes like this, the means to cure the heart and soul from that is in this statement here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. You alone do we worship. Any action of worship, a person he's worshiped, he's performing, then he must remember this statement. You alone, O Allah, do we worship. You alone do we worship. So he will remember that. If his heart is calling him to show off in his prayer, or to show off in his recitation of the Quran, or to show off in his knowledge, or whatever the case may be, he will remember this statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. And he will be able to cure himself from that. By the permission of Allah, reflecting over that, and the meanings that are contained therein, and that ibadah, it must be sincerely and purely for Allah alone. And this is the sole right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore he'll rectify himself in this manner with إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. And he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala that وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek aid and help. This one is the cure for al-kibriya wal-ujub. It is the cure for arrogance. For arrogance and being self-amazed. The cure for arrogance and being self-amazed. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. Meaning that a person, he's not able to do anything in this life, nothing whatsoever, except with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, except by the permission of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He cannot do anything literally. Literally, he cannot breathe. He cannot breathe. His heart will not beat. His lungs will not function. And his blood will not move. He cannot think. He cannot see. He cannot hear. He cannot pray. He cannot fast. He cannot do anything without the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, if he is able to do any good, if he's able to do any good or to save himself from any evil, he will realize any evil or any harm, he'll realize that that is from the help of Allah. So this statement here has the meaning, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Just like the previous statement has the meaning, لا إله إلا الله. إياك نعبد. This is summarized of what it requires whenever we say, لا إله إلا الله. And وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this summarizes what it means when we say لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. We've seen in the previous class, we free oneself. Free oneself from his own hawl. Not from my strength, not from my might, not from my wisdom, not from my brightness, not from my cleverness, not from my effort. Rather from the help of Allah, from the aid of Allah, from the might of Allah, from the power of Allah. And this is also the reminder in the call to salat. And the call to salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. What will one respond and say? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That he will respond to that call, confessing that that's by the grace and the permission and the power and the might of Allah, not from his own effort, not from his own cleverness, not from his own piety, not from his own righteousness. Rather, it goes back to this issue. So this will free him from that. If he sees that he's doing good, and that the people, for example, maybe some of the youth who are guided to the straight path at a young age, they will look around and look at the majority of the youth and they're misguided, even from the Muslims. They'll look at them and they'll see that they're on a bad path, or they look at, they have very bad customs, and they have very bad manners, they have very bad norms that they're involved in, and they things they do normally on a daily basis that are foul and lowly with their tongues, with their eyes, is very common amongst them. And then one of the youth is saved from that, or two of them, or three of them, and he, compared to the rest, they're very few. So maybe one of them will be like, well, I'm not like him, and then he'll start to get self-amazed. But the way to cure the soul from that is وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek aid and help. It's from the aid of Allah, the help of Allah, the decree of Allah, the command of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the grace of Allah, that he's not like them, that he's not like them, and that he's safe from that. So this will humble him, and it will remind him that the command is in the hands of Allah, and the favor is the favor of Allah. So from here, the people of Allah, as they have mentioned likewise, that the Fatiha from its name is Al-Ruqya, and some of them have mentioned as well Al-Kafiyah, Al-Shafiyah. Al-Kafiyah meaning the one that suffices. Whenever that was something else will not suffice. With Shafiyah, and he means meaning the one that's a means for cure. Also they have called it Al-Shifa. Al-Shifa. The Fatiha is Al-Ruqya or Al-Shifa, any meaning the cure. And this is because it is a cure. It is a cure for the diseases of the heart and the soul, and it is a cure for the ailments in the body likewise. It's a cure first and foremost for the diseases of the heart and the soul, the diseases of misguidance and shirk and misunderstanding, the diseases of having a foul intention and a bad intention and using knowledge to manipulate people. It's a cure for this. The Fatiha is a cure for this disease specifically. It's called Shubuhat, the disease of Shubuhat. Likewise, it's a cure for the desires and the whims, and for following what a person he likes to do without any knowledge, the cure for ignorance, which is leads a person into the shahawat, the impermissible lust. It's a cure for this likewise, and that is found in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, not from those who are in your wrath and your anger, nor from those who went astray. The one who learns the meaning of these affairs, he will be able to cure his heart from the likes of that which the Jews were affected by having foul intentions and using knowledge to manipulate the people and gain a worldly status and rank. And likewise, he will be able to cure his heart from the ignorance and the ways of misguidance and following desires and whims in the same manner by learning about what the Christians they were upon, from worshipping Allah without knowledge and ascribing things to the deen of Allah unrightfully with the desires and whims upon ignorance. So this is a cure for that. And we have seen previously that Iyaka na'budu is a cure for ar-riya wa sum'ah, showing off and wanting to be heard, just as Iyaka nasta'in. What Iyaka nasta'in is a cure for self-amazement and arrogance and pride. So the Fatiha is a shifa. Hiya shafia. Shafia kafia. But likewise, this has been affirmed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Bukhari and Muslim from the haditha Abi Sa'id Al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that they were on a journey one time, and they came to some people on their path, and they were looking for them to host them and to take them in, and to feed them and to take care of them and the likes of this, and they refused. And then it just so happened that their leader and the head of their tribe in this particular village was stung by a scorpion. And then they came to them asking if they know anyone who is a doctor. And if hafihim hafikum raqin, arraqi is the person who performs the ruqya. But what they mean by that, somebody who is able to give to cure him, and he has the means of curing a person. And the raqi is literally like a doctor in the likes of this situation. So they made a deal that he would read on him and the likes and attempt to cure him by the permission of Allah for a portion of some sheep. So in any case, he read on him, on that person, the Fatiha. And the man, he stood up like a camel let loose from his rope, and he stood up immediately and he was cured. He recited on him al-Fatiha and he stood up immediately and was cured. And whenever they reached the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they asked about this, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقِيَا. And how did you know that it is a ruqya, meaning a means of treatment and cure? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affirmed them upon that, and he mentioned that it is a cure. Ibn Qayyim likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his work Ad-Dawa al-Dawa, he mentioned that for some time he was in Mecca. He was afflicted with a great illness, and he could not find a doctor, but he used to treat himself with the Fatiha. And he reading on himself Surah Al-Fatiha, and he said that he found amazing benefit and amazing effect, until the many people, they started coming to him and asking him about how he is treating himself, and he would inform them and he would tell them and direct them, and they would likewise benefit in that manner. And he meaning that he would not read on them, rather he would inform them of the means that he's treating himself, and he would direct them to do the same for themselves. And this is something to really understand. Many times a person, maybe he's sick and he thinks that he has to go to somebody else to get the ruqya. The best one to give the ruqya is for a person to give it to himself. Or if his child is sick, then he will not take his child to another person. Rather, he is the one who is in distress. He himself, and that at that time, specifically, if his heart is truly in distress and relying upon Allah and turning to Allah, and he calls on Allah, Allah will respond. But people sometimes are weak in faith and weak in tawheed, and their hearts are attached to other people. Other people besides Allah. Even if it's not considered a type of shirk, or major shirk, but still they turn to others, thinking that they will be able to help whenever they should read themselves. So Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned he found great benefit from that, and others, they asked him about this, and he directed them to do the same. And they did the same, and they found also great benefit. So this is a means of curing oneself in physical ailments. For example, if a person, he has a child, the child is sick, he will put his right hand on the child. The child has a fever, put his right hand on the forehead of the child or on the place of the ailment and the likes like this, and he will read the Fatiha. But this requires for a person to have sincere faith. and to have trust and reliance and great hope and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to have certainty that Allah has the ability to do all things and that the cure comes from Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with taking the physical means as well, like giving medication that is lawful, so on and so forth, and taking other means as well to lighten the sickness or the ailment, but reading the Fatiha. Reading the Fatiha, this is something that is very beneficial. This is something that is very beneficial, and the Fatiha is a means of curing a person from physical ailments. But even before that, from the spiritual ailments and from the diseases of the heart and the diseases of the soul, the diseases of the soul and the head, of the diseases of the heart and the soul that go back to the shubuhat and the shahawat. And we have seen some examples of how one can cure himself with the Fatiha in this manner, with Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, and likewise with غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.